You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Spoilers from the very start, you have been warned. Okay, I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And we are the Game Junkies. Welcome to the show. Alex, we've got a little bit new to talk about before we jump into a proper review. We haven't one of these for a while, it feels like. So, news-wise, do you have anything for me?
Well, I suppose we both have the same thing, to be honest, but nothing particularly. I imagine this is this is definitely your expertise over mine, so yeah. I'll let you carry on.
A news item which has dropped today is that Dan Housen has left Rockstar.
Oh, that, okay. I thought we were on about Resident Evil 8.
Oh, we're getting to that in a minute.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And I want your opinion on it, sir. It's quite a big deal. I mean, he was massively influential for Grand Theft Auto and for Red Dead Redemption, of course. He founded the company with his brother back in 98. It feels very weird with no with Dan Housen not in charge.
I will admit, for Rockstar Games, I've only really ever played Bully and GTA 5, so I'm not too into the company and the creators and everything.
Mm.
So to me, it's just another name on the list. But somebody who's played all their games and knows a lot more about the company, I imagine it's quite a surprise.
He'll leave in March, apparently to a notice Take-Two sent to US financial regulators. His brother remains the company president, but yeah, Dan Housen was one of the lead writers for the GTA series, as well as Bully and Red Dead Redemption. Done voice work in the past. It's just very sad to see him go. Without a doubt, he'll be missed, but I do think that Rockstar will be poorer for not having Dan Housen on board. So I hope that he will have a chance to, you know, flourish in another project at some point in the future. But
just hope the quality doesn't die on their games. That's the biggest concern, because he had a lot of the script writing, I believe.
Yeah.
Let's hope that doesn't ruin the quality of the games. The stories, because that's something that they've never fallen flat on, is it?
No, it's the stories have always been quite good, and that's, well, I suppose the poorest one was GTA 3, but you know, it was built quite nicely. Some of the missions are always a bit dickish at times, let's face it, but you know, that happens with any game, I suppose. So, you know,
Yeah, I think all the old GTA games are dickish missions, didn't they? Both the controls, they used to be.
Some especially, I'm pointing to you, Zero. Your missions in San Andreas come to mind. Right. It is, let's talk about something we like looking for, but you're especially looking forward to, having dipped your toes into Resident Evil 2, of course, Alex. You're looking forward to Resident Evil 3, launching in 2 months' time.
Which I cannot wait for.
Yeah, looking forward to it mentally. But there has been some news leaked about Resident Evil 8. Now, you haven't played Resident Evil 7, Alex, but it's a game I'd recommend that you do if you get a chance to. According to Rumours on Biohazard Declassified. Now, Biohazard is the name that Resident Evil goes by in Japan, Alex. So
even I would do that.
I'm just making sure, because, you know, you're playing catch-up with the series. So. Resident Evil 8 is not yet announced officially. Of course, Capcom don't announce things until they're ready. Yeah.
To be fair, I don't think it'll be for a while yet, considering Resident Evil 3 is right around the corner.
Yeah. An email which was leaked, several features of the rumoured Resident Evil 8 game begin with the return of Ethan Winters from Resident Evil 7 and the same first-person perspective in that game. Anyone who's shouting spoilers at this point for Alex's benefit, I will remind you at the start of the episode I said spoilers are ahead. Okay, now whilst the rumours were poorly sourced, Vegetami got a shot in the arm recently when an industry insider partially corroborated the leaks, even by a likely source. Basically, this is what we have heard, okay? We have heard that it's going to be the same protagonist from FF7, first person, zombies are back, which is always good, a new stalker-type enemy, well, that's always good, with the X-Stalker, which was always good. Imagine that in first person, by the way, Alex. Mm. You can also play Resident Evil 7 in VR as well, so it's even better. And a new enemy type, which is werewolves.
Okay. Now,
I don't like this idea.
The only animal-like things I've truly seen is lickers in some wolf things when I played a DS version of the original Resident Evil, so I can see what you're on about with werewolves. They seem a bit unnecessary.
You don't need to add werewolves to this.
And okay, they don't seem like they fit, do they?
It doesn't seem to fit, no, because you've had zombie dogs for years. Why now werewolves?
Why not just large zombie dogs?
Exactly. But we can... We have no information to wax lyrical about on this one. That's information we have to hand. We're still going to love it. We're still going to enjoy playing it.
I hope there's a third-person mode, though. Because, I mean, as cool as first-person can be, I still think it'd be nice to have third-person perspective.
See, that was the genius thing with Resident Evil 7, because Resident Evil 6 was bad.
It was bad.
It was bad because they just tried to do too much. Tried doing too much. Each of them would have been put. They had three campaigns, and all of them individually, fine. All in one, it was just so convoluted. But
what? Like it went between characters, did it?
No, you played. But you played each one individually, but they did intersect with each other as well. So you teamed up with them at different points. So it was complicated, but at the same time, this Resident Evil talking about here. If you don't know how complicated it is for Alex, then you know.
The word nowadays, after playing Resident Evil 2, you say the word complicated in a sentence and I instantly forget what you're talking about and just think about Resident Evil 2 in the Raccoon City police station.
Example in point. Now, Resident Evil 7, they went to first person and it saved the franchise. No question about it. It brought back the horror element. Because you got that first person and you're locked into it, you literally need your headphones on for it, and you need to be listening for where the sounds are coming from. It's brilliant.
It does sound right. I will admit, I've looked at mods for Resident Evil 2 because I've just bought it for PC recently. And there are first-person mods, and it does look really good in first
person. You're
welcome,
Alec, by the way. You're welcome.
You're not going to let this one go, are you?
To be fair, you're not letting the horse go, so no, I'm not letting that go.
There are many photos of your head on horses now.
Yes, there are, and I'm not going on Twitter. Right, anyway. We can talk about Resident Evil some more, or should we talk about a game that we've been enjoying a lot for the last few months.
A lot. Like, definitely a lot. Pokemon Sword?
Pokemon Shield.
So, before we start, I'll ask, what is your favourite Pokemon of all time and your favourite Pokemon of this new generation?
Right. Of all time, Bulbasaur.
Fair enough. I do like Bulbasaur, actually.
Who doesn't like Bulbasaur? He's amazing. Now, of this generation, I have got a soft spot for Inteleon. Inteleon won me many battles.
Nor lost you many against me.
True, but in fact, you are a beast at battling. So
thank you.
I'll give you dues. You are brilliant, and I've run you close once or twice, but you're pretty good. You're pretty good. Although I will say that I did have a Charizard, which did most of my battling for me when it came to that later battles. So that doesn't count as this generation. That's why I'm telling you my pick. And they've got Pikachu in my party as well. But you know, I'm sure we'll get on to that in a minute anyway. So
for me, I think my favourite Pokemon of all time is Turtwig. If you've ever played Fortune, I love Turtwig. I love Turtwig's evolutionary line. And he's my favourite.
Eventually evolved into Torterra, doesn't it?
Yeah, Torterra was... Gen 4 was the first game that I played through all the way from start to beginning. It wasn't the first Pokemon game I ever played. But it was the first game I played from start to finish, so it's one of my favourites.
Fair enough.
And my favourite one of all time for this generation, I'm sure you can guess it. I'll give you three guesses.
More Pico.
Yep.
Fucking Hampton kicked.
One of these days, Matt's going to have a stroke over the word More Pico. I put money on it.
That thing, if I see that thing is to just dominate my entire field, no matter what that. Apart from one time when it went up against something and I just obliterated in one shot and you were like, what? And then he went postal on me. So I was like, I can't remember what it is off the bit either, but it was fun for like 2 minutes and then Alex went postal on me. So Mole Pico is your favourite now, and Turtwig of all time. Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough. Right. Now, as we said at the start, spoilers are ahead. We may talk about the story through if we may not. So, Alex, what stood out to you from the story then?
I think what really stood out about the story, which is what I love and I so wish the Ever Games did this, is how, you know how in every other game, how many games have you actually played?
Yellow, Leaf Green, Pearl, and Shield. Four.
This is truly the first game where your rivals are more than just someone who appears out the corner of the screen and wants to give you a battle.
Mm.
The rivals have proper story arcs in this game, actual personality and character building. I mean, I don't understand why people hate Hop so much. I think he's just adorable.
I would admit that at first, as mentioned on the show, the fact he needs to run off every other time and he just grates on me at first, towards the end, I did have a soft spot for him.
I'm going to say this now. Hop is the best rival we've ever had. He's not the strongest, but through character, personality, and development and story arc, he is the best rival we've had.
I'm going to agree with you on this one, Alex, yeah.
I think that is the most standout point to me in this game, is that the characters have personality and they grow. That is the biggest standout for me.
Yeah, and the fact that he, at one point, he's focused on just beating Leon, and then he's focused on beating you. And then
he just gets lost because he can't beat you. You've beaten his brother, and all his goals are gone.
Mm. And then he gets another new goal at the end, which is after the end as well. So I like the fact that the epilogue was really good, I thought, as well.
It would be interesting to see if there's any more character development once the expansions come out. Whether that will just the end of their arcs are now, when the expansions will be continuations of your character's arcs.
I wouldn't like it if it was more of Hop's story, because
I suppose he did get the post game.
Exactly. But the main reason is because, from what I can tell, the expansion pass, you'll be able to go to the new island and locations during any point of the game, from what I can tell. And to have two different scenarios for Hop running simultaneously, I don't think that would work. So I think it'd be a case of what's happening with Hop will happen in Gala, and whatever happening elsewhere will happen to you, but not to him. That's what I'm thinking.
Makes sense.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking, but it all depends. They may go for both. I wouldn't be against having more from Hop. I mean, he was lovable towards the end. Just, do you know what the biggest problem is? His hair colour.
His hair colour. We live in a world where you can dye your hair literally any colour. So what's wrong with dark purple?
I don't know. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. Something about it. I don't like it. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Right, so what about gameplay, Alex? So we could talk about the story to the Chaos campaign, but most people out there have probably bought it, because as Chris mentioned on his show, it's massive amounts of sales. 5 million copies in like the first 2 months, which is astounding. The simple question is, gameplay wise, where did it stand?
Gameplay, I think, is solid. It still feels like it has that Game Freak budget to it, that the Pokemon don't actually have real proper animations when they attack. Like, for example, Fury Swipes, they'll just, like, do a little jump and then claws will go on the other Pokemon. They are at the point now where the Switches could handle that. But at the same time, keeps it traditional that they don't actually have proper animations, but the actual animations and the gameplay is solid. I think there's very little lag on any of it. The only real lag you get is online, but apart from that, there's no complaints for that,
which is good, obviously. I know one of the biggest complaints you had was about the battling on, like, Let's Go, and the fact you didn't really, you just you know, through the catch sort of thing. But one of the things I liked from the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee series was that you could see where the Pokemon were in the long grass, so if you wanted to avoid them, you could. Granted, especially with us, we both like battling and leveling up our Pokemon, so it wasn't so much of an issue.
I will just say that's the only shame about Let's Go, and I am giving Let's Go another chance. I've put a bid on Let's Go Eevee on eBay, because Pokemon Bank is right around the corner, so Pokemon are going to be transferable in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I am restarting that soon, so I can catch all the Pokemon, and I think I will enjoy it. I just didn't really give it a chance. So
I'm also very keen to With Pokemon Go itself, obviously, certain ones you can send to the Go Park, and then very fastly you gotta send them on to Pokemon Sword and Shield. Some great Pokemon. I mean, I was looking through today, and there's some I caught while I was in Florida last year, which you can't get in the UK. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's gonna make them massive. Like Skarmory, for example, you can't get over here at all. I haven't found it anywhere in the UK. Found two in America. Brilliant.
Oh, fair enough.
For example. But yeah, like I said, slightly there, obviously. But it's little things. It's just like classic battling. It's just, it felt very old school, but modern at the same time. It was. I loved it. Now the question we got to go. We can reverse the thing now, Alex. Who's your starter?
Well, my original starter, who's ended up being my favourite starter, is Grookey. I do like can't even remember his name now. I do like Score Bunny.
Mm.
But I prefer Grookey, and I'm not a fan of Sobble at all.
You're not a fan of Sobble? I've had four Sobble sent to me via surprise trade.
I've had Sobble when I get so many from surprise trades, and I have had a max IV competitive ready one. But I just don't like him. I don't know what it is about Sobble and Inteleon. I'm just not keen on them. It feels like it's a wannabe Greninja.
Fair enough.
Greninja is just a not as good Greninja.
That's fair enough, Alex. See, I've had Score Bunny. I have a Score Bunny and I have a Cinderace in my boxes. I have a couple of Sobbles. I have my Inteleon, obviously. But I've never had a Grookey. In fact, the only time I've had any of that evolution line is when you let me borrow it while you were sending stuff back and forth between Sword and Shield. You had both copies at one point. It's the only time I've had it in my boxes. So I've never had one.
That's the last time. I really like... The thing I like about Rillaboom is not only does he get knockoff, he gets Fake Out, Drain Punch, Earthquake. His signature move lowers your enemy's speed every single time you use it. He's just the solid Pokemon. And when his hidden ability gets unlocked, which is Grassy Surge, he'll get healing on top of it every turn.
So, in my opinion,
he is the best starter. But subjective.
Subjective, of course. I quite like the fact that Inteleon, my Inteleon, has a move which turns anyone to water type, which is very useful when you're doing double battling, obviously. Then you can have your electric type out at the same time. Because I played Let's Go Pikachu, I got a Pikachu off the station. So I was able to... I throw Pikachu out at the same time as I throw out Inteleon. And, yeah, basically soak him, shock him, and it usually over pretty quickly. Now, with Alex, I don't get a chance because he usually killed Inteleon before I can do that. So, but, you know, it's fun. It's fun. And even when I lose, I have fun. So...
I'm trying to get you to win more often. I've become your, like, personal trainer or mentor, haven't I?
I do appreciate that, Alex. Thank you.
My goal, by the time we go to Res, by the way, we're going to Res.
I think everyone knows we're going to Res now because it's all over Twitter. We're sharing on a regular basis, yes.
We're just letting them know we're going to Res. My plan is, by the time we go to Res, I'm going to have you... a competitive ready team, and we're gonna go on to ranked battling and get you to win at least 5 battles.
I'm looking forward. While we're at Rez, anyone out there who's listening to us, if you see us, we'll be in our t-shirts and everything. Come and we'll play pretty much any game against you. We want to socialize with you guys. Alex wants to socialize. Take the opportunity to do it while he actually wants to, guys. He doesn't like people.
Yeah, I don't like people.
So obviously the multiplayer side of things, Pokemon's always been about playing against people and playing with people, so that's great. Have you had any network issues, really?
The only network issues I find is when you're in the wild area with people, you do get lag occasionally.
Mm.
I notice it's worse in handheld mode than it is in the dock, and I'm not too sure why. Because the dock usually gets a worse connection than handheld.
You're right about that. Yeah, normally it does, but yeah.
So, that aside, the online gameplay is fairly solid. You don't disconnect when you're in max raids or battling someone. The only bit of lag you do get is in the wild area. But apart from that, the gameplay for the wild area? Online is solid.
It is quite a unique thing having that wild area as well, isn't it? Quite a unique thing.
I think that's the way it should go, really.
Mm.
The wild area is, well, it's a 3D open area. In a Pokemon game, in Pokemon Spawn out of the grass and walk around. It just feels alive, especially when you got other trainers running around.
It does. One of the things I like doing is when I see people running around in there, is I'll run up to them and I'll like press my A button and they'll say like bonjour or whatever, where they're from. Yeah, so they'll say hello and they'll say, I found this in my pocket. Do you want it? And it's usually something for camping with. I love the camping. I love it so much.
Camping is fantastic. We'll get to the camping in a second.
Yeah.
The best thing I've ever had is someone told me they dug up this and they wanted me to have it because they didn't need it. It was pre-cooked burger meat that they dug up. I've still got it in my bag because they're afraid to cook it.
It's disturbing that you actually want to cook that.
It's an interesting one. So while we're on the wild area, we should talk about camping in Dynamax and styles.
Yes.
Raids.
Let's talk about the camping side of things first, because I, as a chef, I like camping, you know. Camping, that sort of thing is quite good. This is really, obviously getting the pissed at me here. It's a very much like Legend of Zelda, Breath of a Horse, with the camping, where he does his own, he cooks. Link does do cooking and things in there, and it does smack a little bit like that at times, but I like it. I like it. I think I made a toast curry the other day. Yeah, toast curry. And
it's
they loved
fantastic.
It.
That's and the only thing you can make it. Is curry.
The only thing you make is curry, but you make a different kind of it. I made a salad curry. I made a Gigantamax curry. That was kind of fun.
It's a big one.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't think I made one the Pokemon didn't like. They like more than others, obviously. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyable. And it's a good way of living at friendship levels when you're trying to evolve certain Pokemon.
And then the good one is you can, other people can walk into your camps and you can walk into other people's camps and do joint meals.
It's brilliant.
Which is brilliant. Yeah. And you've got to like work together not to burn it, to stir it correctly. It's just, it's a great way to interact, and it really does take a bit of being, the camping.
Mm. It's something which I'm thinking, like, how has it not been in my life before? It's wonderful.
You know what else I love about it?
Go on.
Depending on what Pokemon's in the front of your party, like size and everything, depends on how big their dish is. Like, if I have Rillaboom or Haxorus, I'll have a plateful or like a plate twice the size of mine. But if I have something like Corsola or Morpeko, they literally have theirs on a spoon. I served it with Corsola the other day, and my Corsola literally has hers, like the tiniest chunk, on a teaspoon. That's just adorable, that is.
It is kind of cute. It's kind of cute. I can't doubt that for a moment. Right. So, talk about camping. Let's talk about Dynamaxing.
And max raids.
Now, Dynamaxing is something which it's a game changer. But at the same time, as everyone knows, last year I was struggling to get past one of the gyms. So I went away and leveled up a bit, went back. I went back and I didn't even need a Dynamax. In the end, when I went back, I leveled up too much. So I ended up obliterating his team, even his Gigantamax. So that was fun. I've done a few max raids, but nothing like, I've been max raiding pretty much 300 a day, pretty much, it feels like.
You give
your opinion on it, Alex.
I mean, I do play this game a lot more as I a dedicated shiny hunter, which is a load of fun. I used to shiny hunt all the time back in Generation 6. But this game, I've really taken a knack to it again. I must have spent about 60 hours shiny hunting Pokemon.
At least.
I've had 7 Chinese so far. The fastest one I've hatched is Axew, and that was 67 eggs. More Pico, though, took me 1,102 eggs.
Mm.
That was a lot.
How many did it take to get my Charmander?
What do you mean, your Charmander?
My Charmander, I have. Was it first time, or was it one that you get from...
Oh, no, your Charmander was one of the first eggs I hatched.
See, that's what he liked me, guys. He was happy that she gave me the first one he hatched.
That was just a regular Charmander.
And the annoying thing is, I found out after the game that the Charmander in Leon's fucking bedroom.
You don't actually get that one till the end of the game.
I know, but I didn't know that it was in there, did I? So Chris finished the game, and actually when I did that, I'm like, what?
I wasn't aware of that. How did you think I got the Charmander?
I thought you got in a train or something.
And how did you think they got it?
I don't know.
To be fair, you think he would drop it off and add it to your mother to give to you, not leave it in his room.
Which you shouldn't be going into without someone's permission.
Hey, to be fair, his collection of hats is fantastic.
It's amazing, isn't it? While
we're quickly on about the Hop and Leon, can I just point out, you walk into their house and there is photos of Leon everywhere and trophies that he's won, but there isn't a single photo of Hop.
No wonder he didn't fit to them.
They literally play favourite childs. I think it's brilliant.
Out of the middle child yourself, Alex, you're a second born, aren't you?
Yes, of 4.
Likewise, exactly the same. I'm not asking for ages of your siblings, obviously, but you've got an older sister and you've got a younger brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Same with me. Do you have favourites in your family from your mother and father?
Don't tend to work like that, but
Erin
and Alfie have definitely got it softer than we had it, me and my older sister.
They say they haven't got favourites, but they have? Because
yeah.
My mum...
Little ones are always the favourites.
My mum swears she hasn't got favourites. I'd like to think she doesn't, but at the same time, I think she might. Now, if you just listen to back, Mum, and spoiler, you won't be. I don't think you have a favourite, but if you do, it definitely ain't me. Right, so I'll just leave it at that. I'm not a favourite, that's guaranteed. But anyway, what was it about? Yes, Hop. Leon and Hop.
Max Razor, you're on about, weren't we?
Max Razor. So get back to Max Razor, Alex. So you're talking a little about him.
Max Raids are a brilliant way of getting to play with other people and get items in the most broken item ever in Pokemon, EXP candies.
Mm.
You can literally level up a Pokemon in less than 10 minutes from 1 to 100 with them.
Mm.
It's ridiculous, but brilliant at the same time. So, well, I don't have a lot to say. One thing I do like,
yeah,
is if you haven't heard, this Friday in our time, it will be Thursday for America, is they're bringing out Gigantamax Toxtricity into the game for max raids.
Ooh, a Pokemon that you're quite a big fan of.
I like the fact that they've been bringing out certain Gigantamax and Dynamaxes over the course of the period while we await for the DLC, rather than having everything in the game at once.
Yeah.
It does keep the game fresh, doesn't it? They did that with Snorlax, they've done it without Creamy, Lapras.
Little things.
Yeah, it works. That's one thing I like about Rockstar with GTA 5. They, as annoying as a drip feed can be, it keeps it all fresh, because either now or next week, we're going to get the F1 cars, and that's going to be quite huge, I think.
It certainly will be for Benny and Chapman for the last 2 months.
So, in my opinion, doing these special events over a certain amount of time and allowing you to play with other people to fight these Pokemon is just a brilliant way of doing it.
It's something that I've enjoyed doing, but at the same time, I get frustrated by that shield they keep throwing up all the fucking time.
Well, to be fair, the battles would be over quite quickly if they didn't put up shields.
Well, yeah, but it's just frustrating, is what I'm saying. It is just frustrating. Even when you got the advantage, the type advantage, it's still like...
The bit that gets to me about the shields is when you hit them and it doesn't do any damage because they're about to put up a shield. That gets to me, that does. It should still do damage.
Also, if they're Gigantamax for the whole battle, why is it you can't say Gigantamax for the same battle, the whole battle as well?
I don't know.
It's frustrating. Right, okay, Alex, so I think it's time we sum this one up. Do you have a score for me out of 10?
I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
There's a few things that bug me about this game. One is how, apart from character development and a couple other things, like how they planned out the gyms and everything with the gym challenge, the uniforms. The story is rather lackluster, which is why I'm hoping the expansions will have good story to them. And the reason for the cut Pokemon, that annoys me a little bit. I don't mind the fact that Pokemon got cut from this game, but I'm annoyed that they lied rather than giving a truthful answer.
What do you mean?
They said the reason they weren't adding all the Pokemon was because that they were doing all the Pokemon from scratch and it was just too many to do. But apart from three Pokemon who have had slight edits to them, every other Pokemon in this game has been copy-pasted and refreshed to make them a little less pixely and finer. But no Pokemon has been done from scratch. But to be fair, you can see why they're doing it, because they're adding over 200 in the DLC, and that is the seller for it, isn't it?
It is the seller, definitely.
So, I mean, they're quite secretive. So that's obviously why they didn't say, we're holding Pokemon back, because they're coming out in DLC. But you still think they would have given a more genuine reason, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd like to think so, yes. You'd like to think so.
Apart from that, the gameplay is solid. The graphics are fantastic. It brings back the nostalgia of the main games, going and doing gyms, battling, becoming the champion, saving the world, even though it was a bit lackluster saving the world in this one.
It was, although it's nice seeing a Pokeball being broken in half.
But to be fair, I think that's how they all work, being broken in half.
No, I mean, when it rejected it, I like that.
But to be fair, he's trying to catch a legendary Pokemon, and he throws a Pokeball at it. What did he expect?
Not that.
I will admit, I am a complete knobhead, and I have set myself a challenge to catch every Pokemon in a Pokeball, because I think the Pokeball's the nicest looking one. So I've caught all my legendaries in Pokeballs. Every Dynamax and Gigantamax I've done, I've caught in Pokeballs. I mean, I do shiny hunting and I spend hours shiny hunting for a Gigantamax Charizard. And then I had to soft reset about 36 times before I caught it in a Pokeball, which is quite good odds, really. But I'm an idiot who wants to catch everything in a Pokeball.
Well, at least he's one of the bad guys. He is a dick, and he admits that quite freely.
Yeah, if you call me a dick to my face, I'll agree with you and give you a handshake.
On this, anyway.
9 out of 10 for me, this game. It's solid. There's a couple little issues, but everything else just shatters that and gives it its score.
I do have to agree with that. I do have to agree with the rating. Year at 9 is good. The DLC coming forward as well. I will be buying that as well, so we will be doing a second review of that once we have finished doing it as well. So bet that a couple months, guys.
We do actually have release dates for the DLC.
Alex, would you kindly give release dates to people who may have missed them?
First DLC, The Isle of Armor, comes out on the 30th of June.
Nice.
Which is a bit of a wait, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And The Crown Tundra comes out on the 30th of November.
Okay, so perfect for Christmas then. Lovely. And that's $27.99, I believe, in the UK, which is...
which is a fair price for DLC.
You're getting a lot for it, so...
A lot of people were saying that Game Freak were like EA when they said they were having paid DLC for Pokemon. EA is the company that if you buy The Sims 4 and every single expansion... retail price comes to I'm pretty sure, $540.
Hmm. It's a lot of money, isn't it?
For The Sims.
It's not for everybody, mate, let's face it.
But because they had paid DLC, they're like EA, supposedly. But I just don't. If people haven't got a reason to complain, they're not happy these days.
That's a fair comment. That is a fair comment. Let's hope that moving forward it's not something to complain about, because I've got a lot of time for a game which has got 9 out of 10 from both of us.
For me jumping in the competitive scene, and I'm going to try in March when I meet up with Matt to get him addicted to competitive.
Not going to happen.
I hope. It's fun. It is really good fun, competitive.
I don't dispute it being fun, but it'll get me addicted is what I'm saying.
We'll see.
We will.
So I can't wait for this DLC, but we got a fair few months before that comes out yet.
So, that is pretty much it for this episode, Alex. To be fair, we've talked about Pokemon and we've enjoyed it massively. We will be talking about more Pokemon when it comes to doing reviews of the DLC and Battle Dungeon. So, Mystery Dungeon, sorry, apologies.
I realise what you're on about now, because I wasn't paying attention when you said Battle Dungeon the first time.
Ain't the first people time, it won't be the last.
If this was a proper, like, Pokemon podcast, people would grill you for that.
Yeah, well, to be fair, that's up to them. So, you played the demo a bit, Alex, haven't you?
Yep. Well, I didn't complete the demo, but
no, you played a bit of it. So,
nostalgia trip from playing it. I even got my original team, Pikachu and Eevee.
So you're very happy about that, then. That's good.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it's being remade is amazing. The fact that doing the quiz, I got my original team, even better.
I'm very happy that you got it, dude.
The art style is brilliant. And just the way it's done, the way it's the same, but just polished. It's brilliant. They didn't enhance it to the point where it feels like it's no longer a mystery dungeon of the past. They've enhanced it just enough so it is like the old games.
It is beautiful. Definitely.
It is going to be a winner for me.
Cool that beans.
It's definitely going to be on my top 5 of the year. And well, that's a bold statement, but it's going to be.
It's going to put me in my top 5 as well. To be fair, it was in the top five of last year. So for me, so it's going to be close behind it. So, yeah. So that's pretty much what I've done for. Another 2 weeks, Alex. We will see you in 2 weeks' time. Don't forget to check out Chris next week. Not sure what he's doing yet, but he's going to have another show out. He's back on the bandwagon. It's always good to hear. So, yeah, this has been the Game Junkies. I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
Gaming is our addiction. We're out of here.
This podcast is a Matatech production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.